He's got an opinion and he's not afraid to share it. Now, sharing his lunch? That's a different story. Here's the healthy skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
With childhood obesity statistics skyrocketing, many studies are now showing that prevention could actually begin during the infancy years. My next guest is the chief executive officer of a wonderful program called Shape Up America. Their mission is to raise awareness of obesity as a health issue and to promote responsible and sustainable weight management practices in adults and the prevention of obesity in infants. She's also the author of Fit from the Start, How to Prevent Childhood Obesity in Infancy. Dr. Barbara Moore, when is the critical period? Where should we be intervening?
Well, to answer that question, I want to tell you about a study that appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine earlier this year.
Please
do. They followed thousands of children who were born in 1998, and they followed them from kindergarten through 8th grade. And already by kindergarten, 12% of the children were obese, and nearly all of those children remained obese in 8th grade.
So that's by kindergarten. Even, you said before kindergarten. That's amazing.
That's right. Even overweight children, and I think there were 14% of the kids were categorized as overweight. And most of those kids became obese by the time they were in 8th grade. And there are several studies that precede this one, one of which was also published in the New England Journal of Medicine, which shows that if you are obese by the time you're in 8th grade, your chances of remaining obese into adulthood are about 75%, maybe even a bit higher. So what this signals, of course, is that we need to be preventing children from being overweight or obese before they reach kindergarten years. And I might add, those are the years when they suffer social stigmatization and bullying and social isolation. They make fewer friends. We want to spare our children this kind of misery. And believe it or not, the process of preventing childhood obesity begins from the moment of birth. Actually, Dr. Kaskel, it begins...
We can go back to in utero. Let's go back...
Yes, it does. But, you know, that's the next book.
Right.
So the moment they're born,
we actually have... we can intervene. And what I'm hearing you say is that we have to intervene by the time we get them home or by the time we even have them in the nursery, what we're feeding them.
Actually, I would really be delighted if women would read this book, women and both moms and dads-to-be would read this book in the third trimester of pregnancy, so that I would hope they would choose to breastfeed. And mm-hmm. that they would maybe even choose a baby-friendly hospital, if there is one near them, to birth their child. Because there are many things that hospitals can do to encourage breastfeeding and to guide mothers toward successful breastfeeding. But, you know, not all hospitals qualify as baby-friendly. You have to meet 10 separate criteria for the designation of baby-friendly, and although the number of hospitals that are garnering this this title is increasing, it's still a very low percentage. So, for example, I live in the state of Montana, and as far as I know, there are only two hospitals in the whole state that qualify as baby-friendly. But the point is that breastfeeding gives you an edge if you're interested in preventing childhood obesity. And that's not to say that bottle feeding is not, you can't be successful bottle feeding your child. And we have plenty of information in our book about how to prevent overfeeding in bottle-fed babies. But it's true that studies show that there is something about breastfeeding, and we can talk about that if you'd like,
I would love to hear more. Yeah, what are the health benefits of breastfeeding specifically with respect to weight?
Well, there are two things. The first thing is that breasts are not marked off in ounces, and formula actually is fairly expensive. I think it costs $1,700 for the formula alone if you were to formula feed your baby for 6 months, and that doesn't include the cost of bottles and nipples and many parents are now choosing to use bottled water to make formula for their babies, and it does, that figure does not include the cost of bottled water either. So what I'm trying to say is that you may want to use every ounce, and so there's some evidence that parents will encourage babies to eat every last drop of the formula, and when you breastfeed, you don't have that same kind of pressure to not waste anything, because of course you won't waste anything if you choose to breastfeed. So that's one factor that may play a role, but there's another, several other factors. One is hormones, and the other is the fact that breast milk has antibiotics in it, and it confers protection against infections and illnesses in newborns. And so
that brings the whole gut theory into play.
That's right. Exactly. We spend a little bit of time in the book talking about that and how there is such a thing as good bacteria and bad bacteria. And it would appear that, believe it or not, there are these components of breast milk which are not digestible to the baby at all, but they are there because they are digestible by the bacteria. And I was amazed by that. You know, I've been a student of this literature for years, and I learned a lot in preparing for this book. So the point is that good bacteria and bad bacteria are both there, but you want the balance of good bacteria to be greater. You want to have more good bacteria that will protect the child. And it's pretty clear that that's why the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends breastfeeding, because of the fact that it does have antibiotics in it, and it does seem to confer protection to infants. But
so when you're telling me this, Dr. Moore, I'm thinking what a formula manufacturer would say, and I bet you now they're combating this by saying, we are putting probiotics in our formula now. Yet, I don't know that that's happening, but I assume it is because I haven't had a little child recently, but they're probably putting some in there, but it's not what you need. It's probably the wrong ones.
Well, you know, the question is the viability of these probiotics, the dose. I mean, there are all sorts of problems. There are problems with probiotics for us. You know, I mean, I recently had surgery and needed to take probiotics, and I felt it was helpful. But there are lots of issues around the use of probiotics. So, you know, I hope that the formula manufacturers succeed in doing that sort of thing. I mean, there are some mothers, at least, who, for a lot of compelling reasons, can't breastfeed, and I would hope that they'd have the access to the best possible formula. But I want to tell you about the hormones in breast milk that have been discovered, which are not present in formula either. And one is called ghrelin, and the other is called leptin. And both leptin and ghrelin are involved in appetite regulation. And the thinking is that these hormones are ingested by the little baby, and they are traveling from what we call the gut, you know, the stomach, the intestines, and the associated organs like liver, pancreas. And
Dr. Moore, we're gonna have to leave it there for today. For more information about Shape Up America or Fit from the Start book, go to www.shapeup.org. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD, reminding you to never let anyone do your thinking for you. And stay skeptical, my friends, and stay well.